There he is.
Come on.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
This is part two of the podcast, You Cannot Be Serious, Sam, Mike and Don. And before we speak to Fiona Byrne about all things entertainment, Mick, and how they simulate the sex scenes without people getting up each other's dress, no pun intended, and suing them for illegal entry or whatever, we're going to speak to a man from South Australia because you have some queries about lots to do with the Hall of Fame and the Adelaide situation.
Yes.
And I think he was the first coach of Adelaide. His name is, I won't give you his name, he played a veteran of five games for North Melbourne, and he's on the radio, and he's the father of all the great people who are speaking shit over.
The father of all the great people,
yeah,
is
all
he?
The great people. He's the father of, and his name's Graham Corns, affectionately known as Studley. And is he on the line? He's not on the line. Well, we've got to... Don, put the headphones on. I know, had you know my name was Phones. Here he goes. This is Studley. Did he hear that introduction?
No, he
wasn't
didn't.
A very good one, was it?
No, no.
Is it... It's Graham.
Yeah, hello, boys. How are you?
Hello, you're on. We have to say you're on the air live, because we have to say that by law, I think. Sam?
Law? I'm not Sam.
I said Sam, Mike and Don are here, Don Scott and Mike Sheehan. And Mick's got some questions pertinent to the Hall of Fame nominations and all things going on in Adelaide about football, Graham.
Now, more immediately, hello, Cornsy. More immediately, mate, what we would like to know is what is happening at your old football club? And can you explain to us the fracas between McLeod and the Crows and McLeod and Ricciuto?
I can. Actually,
good boy.
It's unfortunate. Do you want me to do it now?
Or yep. Yes, please.
No, we'll call back next week and we'll do it next week and we'll just give you a week's notice so you can come up with some answers, Graham.
It's unfortunate that it's become public. It's something that should have been discussed behind closed doors. If Andrew McLeod is not happy with how he's being treated down there, if he's not happy with the atmosphere when you walk in the club rooms, that should have been discussed behind closed doors, because with all the drama the Crows have been through, you didn't need a club legend to come out and bag the club. So Andrew McLeod has one or two good points. Well, the first one being that when you walk into the place these days, there's no photographs. You know, I think Phil Walsh, there used to be great big photographs of Andrew, all the 300 game players that were around the training facility that they had. Now, Phil Walsh said, no, we're taking them down. We're going to put team photos up. Well, the big ones got taken down, but I don't think the team photos have been put up. Now, the problem is, since they've moved from West Lakes to Adelaide Oval, it's become a wasteland down there. And whilst the facility isn't too bad, the environment of it is horrible. And that's why they're trying to move. They're trying to move to a new facility in town and re-establish proper club rooms for the players and the staff and indeed the members. But he's right to the point of view when you walk in, there's not much cultural history on the walls, which you like to see. Now, we're all old footballers, and even you, Mike, even down at Werribee, you would have loved to have walked in and seen the the photos on the wall. I mean, I love doing that sort of stuff. That's the good point he had, but to bag the club publicly, look, I suspect it's a broader issue. There's the Andrew McLeod Centre of Excellence, which was a facility established with government-funded money for Indigenous school children. So now it appears likely that the government's going to withdraw the funding for that. Now, that foundation or that academy employed both Andrew and his wife, Rachel. So I think Andrew was keen for the Adelaide Footy Club to pick up the funding for it, but they can't commit to that given the current circumstances. So I think it's a bit deeper than just photos on the wall. Photos on the wall are valid, yep, but it's deeper. And he's a bit different than Andrew McLeod anyway. There's a lot of players who are absolutely furious the way he's come out because they don't feel that way. Tony Modra, who's one of the shyest guys at the club, and the one who probably could be angry because he got sacked and sent to Fremantle, he's come out and absolutely refuted that, how he loves going down there, how he's always made to feel welcome. So there's an issue that's deeper than photos on the wall. So, and it should have been behind resolved behind closed doors.
So what about, does it say, though, that there's a problem at the upper levels of management at the footy club? I mean, that this is, McLeod's probably the most decorated player in Adelaide's history, right? And if he's moved to publicly...
No, Michael, you're missing the point. What I think there's an ulterior motive. Is that what you're saying, Graham, from Andrew McLeod?
That's exactly what I'm saying without saying it.
Yes. Right. In other words, he wants to be paid. He wants his job going. It's the funds have dried up from the South Australian government. He wants the job to continue, and he wants Adelaide Football Club to back him.
I think that's one of the issues. I can't say that's entirely the issue, but it's certainly one of the issues. And
well, it's not a very clever strategy, Cornsey.
I'm sorry?
It's not a very clever strategy, if that's his strategy.
Well, it's only, look, he's got enormous public support, Andrew McLeod, and there's so many people out there wanting to pot the crows because they can't do anything without people being critical of, even Mother Teresa had critics. So what chance has Adelaide Footy Club got when there's a little bit of controversy? I'm not saying it can't be resolved, but he's been, can I say, divisive over the years, perhaps.
Really?
There was a drama with Tyson Edwards, yep. and he's not... He's a shy sort of guy that doesn't always attend club functions, and you need to speak to someone like Mark Ricciuto or Rod Jamieson, who are board members, I know. But
we're speaking to you, though. We want your opinion.
I'm giving it.
Yeah, he is. and it's very, very pointed too. Don, just John asked the question about with Tyson Edwards. They fell out. They didn't talk to each other. Is that right, Gornsey?
There was a drama because I think there was a clash between the two wives, and then that caused the split between the players. It was much documented at the time, and I don't think it's ever been resolved. and sometimes Andrew doesn't always attend club functions, and it's tense. But having said that, he's been working for 7 years. He's had the academy going. He's been an assistant coach with the AFLW team. So
Gray,
he's much loved in that role.
Gray, now
Gray.
Great. Just as a matter of interest, whoever criticised Mother Teresa? Can you name anyone that criticised her?
There were critics of Mother Teresa. You just have to look it up. There was definitely critics of Mother Teresa.
So this great club that you were the inaugural coach of, it is staggered from crisis to crisis since, it's meant to be the hallmark of everything that's good and righteous in South Australia.
And it is. It's just Victoria Buffett in the media who want to ramping up every little minor thing, like the drama with the camp. All the exaggerated claims we heard of that.
Okay, so that's good. I'm glad you said that because we probably did do that. So there's nothing wrong with that camp. It was completely overblown, was it, about what was going on there?
It was definitely overblown. There were a couple of lads who got their knickers in a knot because their wives couldn't contact them during the day.
Is that all?
Gee, the wives seem to be a problem in Adelaide. Can't you keep them under control?
I'm not going to go there. I've got three daughters and a wife. I'm not going to go. But there were tensions there that didn't need to be exposed. And some guys weren't comfortable, but I've heard nothing that could be validated that would cause me concern. Players being tied naked to trees, that was all rubbish,
So Mick is querulous, I think is the word, about why Greg Phillips was inducted.
No, that's not true.
All right, that's not true. Ask him about Greg Phillips.
No, what are you asking?
No,
I have no issue with Greg Phillips. I was the one who said he played in 9 premiership teams in the Sandfall. Eight, was it?
He's in the South Australian Hall of Fame, and you wondered why he got into the AFL Hall of Fame.
No, I'll tell you more precisely, Cornsey, before you came on, there's a bloke looking at me who said, how did you get in it when you played 5 games in the major competition?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well, but that's not fair. I don't. You're going to ask me to extol my virtue.
Just a minute, Graham.
But then there are players from South Australia, Graham, that have never played or attempted to play at a top level and are in the Hall of Fame.
Look, so you want to talk about me or you?
No, I want to talk about you, Graham. Let me correct what Mick Sheehan said, because he's being deliberately provocative. We were talking about Greg Phillips. Why would he get in? And I said, well, I didn't say you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Quite the contrary, I said, but if you're going to use that analogy, Graham Corns played 5 games for North Melbourne. You're saying he shouldn't be in. And no one was saying that, Graham, so let me just clear that up.
But there's coaching.
Of course, but please.
And there's, all Australians and, you've hurt me, Michael.
Hey, Corns.
All Australians.
I was the one defending you. I said you're a legend of SANFL.
It's Sam who hurt me.
Graham, on the contrary, I said if you're going to use that analogy about Greg Phillips, don't say you can use the same about Graham Corns, but that is just spurious. It's a stupid argument.
Really? Why is it a stupid argument?
It's a spurious argument. Do you think Graham Corns shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't think he should be.
Well, sorry, Don, but the issue is it's two VFL. The trouble is, people in Victoria seem to think that the VFL was much greater than what it was when it was the VFL. And they overlooked the Waffle and they overlooked the Sandful and probably overlooked Tasmania, to be quite frank. But we concentrate on the Waffle and the Sandful. Often South Australian teams would play Victorian teams in those night competitions and we would get as far as grand finals and we'd get as far as semi-finals. We were a much better competition than people in Victoria ever gave us credit for. And our competition within our society was just as big a deal, maybe even a bigger deal than it is in Victoria. Now, I'm not saying I don't like Victorian footy, because I love footy at all levels. And I love, the culture of Victorian football. But you cannot deny us our culture and you cannot deny our greats, like somebody like Ken Farm, who should be a legend, somebody like Neil Curley, someone like Foss Williams and John Carr. You cannot deny us because we didn't play enough footy in the VFL. So when you look at the records of some of these Sandford players, it's incredible. Record is incredible. He wouldn't have been, never sounds as I'm knocking him. I'm not going to knock him because everyone who is in there deserves to be there. But
Don will knock him if it's warranted.
Don, you did well when you came. You're going to bag it, Don. Do we really want to go down here?
No. You keep going.
No, let him go with Don, please. I want to say it. Say it, please, Graham. Go ahead, Gray.
Where was I?
You were going to bag Don about something. We don't want to really go around this track.
But
somebody like Greg Phillips has got an unbelievable record. Not only that, you've got a record as a great team man, but there's other guys, like someone like Michael Taylor. He's got his 6th best and fairest over here. Runner-up, I think, is the best and fairest at Collingwood. He's in all his top three in his club voting 12 times. Now, that's unbelievable. So there's Andrew Jarman, 2 McGarry medals. He won 5 Foss Williams. Now, Foss Williams' medal is best player of the state game. So guys like that, and Gary McIntosh and someone like Tim Evans, there's guys that you've never heard of because you're Victorian. You're not South Australian. You don't understand how important footy is and how good some of our footballers were.
Don, in that competition, and I am not saying they're not good footballers, but you've got your South Australian Hall of Fame and that's where it should be recognised, Graham.
Well, you have your Victorian Hall of Fame.
Exactly, mate.
An AFL one, but do you want me to pick out a couple of guys whose record over there are pretty...
Yes, we do.
Well, I've got to say, one of the legends hasn't even played 100 games. One of the legends of the AFL...
John Coleman?
Graham Farmer?
Football Hall of Fame hasn't played 100 games.
John Coleman? Hello?
Well, you said it. John Coleman has played 98 games.
Graham Farmer?
Pardon?
Graham Farmer?
They played 101.
Exactly right.
Cornsy,
now, if I said to you, if I'm sitting down and say, look, I've got this candidate here who's played, he's only played 98 games. Do you think he should be included as a legend?
What do you think
most people would say?
No, what about if people who watched him said that he may well be the best player that's ever played the game?
He may be the best player ever played the game, but Peter Carey would have been a better player.
Who? Sorry?
Peter Carey.
For who?
Peter Carey was a better footballer than Graham Farmer.
I'm sorry, Cornsy.
Now, hang on. That's his opinion, Donald.
Qualify
that, please, Graham. Go ahead.
Now, well, he's a better player. He's a better footballer. He had a sound brain. He had better skills.
You're saying that Peter Carey, who played 500 games in the Sandfall and none in the VFL, was a superior player to Polly Farmer.
I'm saying that, yeah.
I would almost go
as far as to say Stephen Michael was a better player than Polly Farmer.
Sam's just fallen out of his chair.
No, Mick, I think this is a diverse exchange of opinions.
I'm not saying we don't all like Polly Farmer.
Yes, you are.
So I'd say that again because I was being spoken over. But I'm not saying Polly Farmer wasn't a great player. Of course he was. But, you know, there's other big men who were great players as well.
No, you're not saying that. You were saying that Carey and Michael were superior to Farmer.
Yes, that's my opinion.
You can't, number one, you can't compare eras, Graham. Number two is Stephen Michael didn't try himself out against the best, and the best at that stage when Stephen Michael was playing was here in Victoria.
That's your opinion. You don't know that.
It is a fact, mate. It is a fact.
You don't know how good footballer in WA was.
I do, Graham, because I played against Victoria.
Hang on, Donald, don't talk over him. Just a minute. This man's...
Who's talking over who?
Well, he was speaking and it's hard to see into his eyes when he's on the phone. So let him speak because he's making some very interesting and controversial points, which we love. Go ahead.
No, Don. Off you go, Don. Come on. You go. Well, you can have your crack.
Well, go on, Donald.
Well, in the 70s, played against teams in Western Australia and South Australia. And if we weren't on our game, and namely practice games, we got a bit of a shock. But when that really did matter, Graham, and those night games were at stake, those teams didn't come in cooey of a Victorian team, especially the ones that I played in.
That's true.
Well, hang on. We played against you. We played up against you.
Who's
in the grand final. Glenelg.
You did not play against us in a grand final. I'm sorry.
It was a semi final going into the grand final, and I remember quite clearly there was the cup presented at the start, and you ripped the North Melbourne, Graham. Don, Norwood Oval. You and Glenelg played Hawthorn at Norwood Oval, and you were the captain. I was the captain from Glenelg.
Graham,
hang on.
I think you're on something, Graham.
I will never forget the night because Peter Crimmins was there, and it's the first time I met
Don.
Peter Crimmins. We went out. He didn't play, and he was fighting off his illness, and I've never been so impressed with a guy whose attitude was so positive and optimistic. We went out afterwards. We went down to Hindley Street. We had a great night. And I remember it as one of the great nights because of his attitude and how positive and how effervescent and energetic it was and what a great night we had.
So
and
Graham,
Glenelg played Hawthorn and you beat us.
What year? What year was this, Graham?
I'd say 1978 if I had a guess.
Okay, well Peter Crimmins had passed away in 1976.
Well, it might have been 1976.
I can't tell you the exact year, but. We definitely played Hawthorn at Norwood Oval.
And they just beat you, did they?
Well, they beat us comfortably.
But we
got through to that final by beating Victorian teams and Western Australian teams.
Do you really want me to tell you what happened on that night of the grand final?
What?
I played at full forward on David Dench, and my instructions were not to allow David Dench to run off, and we won the grand final against North Melbourne. And I ripped
could quite easily have been another game. But we definitely played Hawthorn. So no one played Hawthorn at Norwood Oval. Now, whether it was a semi-final or a grand final, I couldn't tell you without checking the record. But
right
I remember
boys.
It clearly
right
because we played you. We got through to there. And I remember it simply because Peter was there. Now, I didn't make that up.
Cornsey, we've got to go shortly, but I need to ask you about your two boys. Now, Chad is a premiership player at Port Adelaide and has been stood down, correct?
Yeah, but he's they're back at work now.
They're back at work, okay. Kane, who played 300 games without raising a murmur, and now every time he's in the media is making a splash. I'm a Kane fan. Now, I'm not saying that just because I'm talking to you. I love blokes who get on there and have an opinion and express it. But, geez, he's been controversial.
Well, look, he's very close to being disowned, to be quite honest. But having said that, I look critically at what he says, and there's not too much stuff I disagree with. Look, I disagree with his last crack at Taylor Edwards. You've got to be over here to really appreciate the infighting between him and
Taylor Walker.
Tex Walker. But when he compared Charlie Dixon's physique with Tex Walker's physique, I thought that was just a little bit cruel. I had a crack at him about that. But no, honestly, there's not that much he says that I...
Well, there's one specific
one. He gets a lot of picks on some of the Victorian teams.
Yeah,
Collingwood.
Yeah, I want to ask you specifically about when he had a crack at Jezza or Jezza's mark. Now,
right.
I think we talked about it here, Sam, Scotty, and I. I think it was sort of one of those ones where the general view among us was that you don't piss on monuments. Jezza's an institution that probably didn't need to be said. What was your view about that?
It's not knocking Jezza, but we talk about big marks, and I've always thought that Jezza's mark was overhyped.
Really?
You know, and I'm not saying Jezza wasn't a great player. I played in the state game. He came over and kicked 10 goals. He got to play that morning, kicked 10 goals. His wife had just had a baby. No one's knocking Jezza. We're talking about spectacular high marks, the most exciting feature of our game. And I've always thought the thing that made that mark famous, I'm not saying it's not a famous mark, but the actual mark itself, I think it's overhyped. You know, it was a grand final. It was a tense grand final. And the commentary made it better than what it actually was. But if you look at that mark in isolation as a mark compared to some of the really huge screamers, Jeremy Howe does that sort of mark two times a week.
No.
Yes, he does. You go back and look at some of Jeremy Howe's marks, and they are better marks than Jezza. Now, I don't want to knock Jezza.
You're not knocking Jezza. But the mark is iconic, which doesn't mean that it shouldn't be critiqued. I agree with that. But when Kane said it wasn't in the best, Kane said it wasn't in the best 50 marks that he'd seen, I must say I really raised my eyebrows. Here's a bloke, Jezza's in the middle of the MCG, kneeling on the shoulders of a bloke who stands 6'5". I mean, that's I don't care about.
Yeah, well, that's about that. You get a run up, you can do that. You guys would have done that lots of times. The best grand final mark was, you could say, Leo Barry's, or you could say St Kilda 2010 grand
Brendan,
final.
Brendan Goddard, yeah.
Brendan Goddard. Yeah. Brendan's got a mark with 7 minutes to go in 2010 when the scores are level. What? That's a better mark.
You're putting the context of the game in play. I mean, you said before it didn't matter.
That's still a better mark, though.
You reckon?
You look at the mark.
You reckon Leo Barry's mark technically was better than Jezza's, do you?
No, I'm not saying that.
You did say that.
I'm saying there's great
saying.
Marks, but it's the occasion which makes the mark great. Now, Leo Barry's mark is established as a great grand final mark, but it's not a great mark. It's just the fact that at the time it's perhaps a match-saving mark.
Anyhow, I hope you're not interested in Don's opinion, because he's vacated the chair. He's
Don's always been different.
He's put up the white flag. He said Hawthorn played Glenelg and North Melbourne played Norwood. He seems to claim factor on his side about that discussion you had about Hawthorn being beaten.
No, we didn't beat them. They beat us.
Hey, Cornsey,
We played Hawthorn at Norwood Oval, whatever year it was.
76.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Graham, were you born in Victoria?
I was born in Victoria.
Let me say this. This is just an observation that South Australia is the most parochial state in sporting terms in the country.
Yeah, we should be.
Why?
Because we have a huge inferiority complex.
Obviously.
And we've got this chip on our shoulder, and we have to stand tall, and we cannot let Victorian buffheads like you keep crushing us down and putting us down and saying our players aren't worthy of being in the it's the Australian Football Hall of Fame, you dickheads. It's not the Victorian Football Hall of Fame. Right. It's the Australian Football Hall of Fame. Right.
Anyhow, I
Buffheads.
No, it's reasonable. Now, Mick, any man that would say that Peter Carey and Stephen Michael were far better players than Graham Farmer.
I didn't say far better.
Well, you'll be like your son tomorrow. You're going to make headlines, mate. Kane's going to have to take a back seat.
Why would I make headlines? This is a private conversation.
Oh, private, is it?
I don't want
we
headlines.
1.6 million people have listened to us since we've been doing this.
I can see the heading there, mate. SA Luminary says Polly was a hack.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that.
Sam, are you still employable, Sam, are you?
What's that?
Are you still employable?
What's that mean? What do you mean? Am I still employable?
Look on his face.
I didn't say you're a hack, and I didn't say you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
You said he was a veteran of five
VFL
games.
I said, Mick, in context, if you're going to malign Greg Phillips,
who
for you? That's
listen to it tomorrow. Or the Savo.
Well, we could say Barry Rodburn didn't play any games. So what are you saying?
Hey, I've got to say also, why isn't Rob Wiley in the Hall of Fame?
Good question. But why isn't Jeff Range in the Hall of Fame?
Right, here's Don back. He's come back. Don, say a final. Don't touch that.
Oh, well, jeez. Are you on drugs, Corns?
Look out. If you are, send some over. Don, stop manhandling that.
I've got to talk to him.
Well, stop manhandling the microphone. Go on. Jeez, this is it.
Right now.
Go on,
Are
Don.
You on drugs, Corns?
Yes, he is.
No, what are you doing? Sniffing a line?
I'm quite a sober person. Yeah. What have I said that upset you?
Oh, Cornsy, you don't know your facts, mate. I mean, I've tumbled into this.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
He's done what he set out to do, and I've tumbled in. I should have just sat back.
Don, because you're an emotional man who's living on your wits' end. Tell him
and
what...
Dixie Marshall's a rap for you, Cornsy. I've got a question.
So am I. I'm a rep for Cornsy.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Dixie Marshall.
Yeah, but I'm saying so am I a rep for him.
Well, Dixie actually spent some time in Adelaide. So
I know that, and she's a rep for you. And I listen to people, and if Dixie gives you a rep, you must be all right. But you are off your head, mate.
What do you think he's off your head about, Donald?
Well, he hasn't got his facts right, number one.
Well, he said it's 1976.
Which facts haven't I got right, Don?
We did not play Glenelg in a night game.
You did.
You did.
When?
It's got it here. 27th of July, 1976.
What was it, a semi-final? Yeah. It wasn't, thank you, a semi-final. They don't even count.
No, but you said you didn't play in a night game. You did, Donald.
Well, it doesn't count as a semi-final. But we only think about the finals.
Well, he said you didn't play a game. You said in night game, Cawthorn Glenelg, you did. You did play one. I'm looking at it here, Donald. So apologise to Gray.
Graham, I apologise, but I thought you were going... Well, hang on. You said the grand final.
Yeah, well, I did say that.
You misspoke.
I withdraw that.
Okay, so we both apologise, Graham.
Well, that's it.
I'm sorry, Don.
Graham.
I'm sorry, mate.
Graham. It's been delightful to speak to you.
Very cheerful this morning, Cornsy.
I thought this was going to be a boring interview, Cornsy. You've really revved it up.
Well done, Graham Farmer.
If we want to spice it up, we could talk about your little stint over here in Adelaide.
I had to follow you, Cornsy, and you created all these bad habits that I had to try and rectify.
Thank you very much, Graham. We're going to now start a petition and a movement to see if we can get Peter Carey to oust Graham Farmer from the
legendary team
of the century. Thank you very much for joining us, Graham.
Thanks for coming on, Cornsy.
Thanks, boys.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Now, we'll be back. We'll be back with Fiona Byrne. We're going to do the third part of this because we've got many things to ask Fiona about how the sex scenes are adjudicated.
Okay, come on.
Okay, sorry.
Open around streets late at night. I'm worried because just craze about you, babe.